I don't hear you.
Hey, I got it right that time. No, I've left Mel down for now.
Oh, okay.
Let's start the show.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Back with you and barely alive, it is the Nate Darling Show. Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
Mel.
Hi.
Hello, Larry.
Hola, amigos.
Everybody is back. So let's jump right into this this puppy here.
Yeah.
So as we start every show, we'll start it out with the weight loss update. I have nothing to update. I did not lose or gain any weight this week.
You didn't gain. That's something to celebrate.
Did not lose, did not gain. Weeks like that will happen.
Yeah, that's normal.
Time to move on. Hey, you know you can hear our show on the Stitcher Smart Radio? It's a mobile app. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows like us directly from your phone. Your iPhone, your Android, your BlackBerry, even a Palm phone. If
wow,
you have one of those.
Fancy.
I don't know if it works in a shoe phone like Maxwell Smart had or not.
Do they still have Palm phones?
Somebody must.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a brand name.
Like a Palm Pilot.
Yeah. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher. Download it today for free at Stitcher.com or in your app store, Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher Smart Radio is the smarter way to listen to radio.
Did you just have a little stroke?
You know what? No. We don't joke about strokes.
Stroke is no joke.
Just to pull the curtain back a little bit, you guys just came from the theater, so we are recording the podcast tonight about 3.5 hours after we normally start.
It's a late night edition.
I'm sleepy.
So we may get a little punchy. It may happen. Anything like that is possible, so we apologize in advance. So you guys went to the theater. How was it?
It was really
good. It was good. It was West Side Story.
And they were wonderful. It was just a wonderful production.
Cast was great. Casting was super great.
Dancing was amazing. Anita was amazing.
It was really
it?
Good. I feel like I haven't seen West Side Story since I watched it when I was a kid as a movie. And I really didn't realize how much things are really being, like, big pictures being presented.
Yeah.
They have a whole scene about, like, why are people criminals or why do people think people look like criminals. And I don't think I got any of how deep that show really was until tonight. And now I feel like I could. There's so many things in it. I want to watch the movie because I feel like I've missed all kinds of things.
Yeah, I think you have to be a little bit, maybe a little bit more seasoned to look at it with different eyes.
Yeah. It was so good. It was just in San Jose, and it's on tour for like the next year. So if it's in your town, go see it.
Yeah, it was wonderful. You know, I was saying to my friend, I always try to find one thing to find fault with because that's what I do. And I said the only things I could complain about were not really complainable, which was that the guy who played Riff was to me so gay that it was distracting.
I agree.
He was adorable, but he was super gay.
Yeah. It seemed yeah.
And not that Natalie Wood is any more Latina per se, but the girl that played Maria was so white bread.
Yeah.
That was also funny to me, but she was beautiful and had a wonderful voice, so who cares?
I like how they did a lot of the dialogue for the Puerto Rican group in Spanish.
Yeah.
The people next to us, they do not think enjoyed that. They at intermission, they said, now why are they speaking the Spanish?
The Spanish? That's awesome.
Is it because they're from Puerto Rico?
Right, but
I was just too distracted by the morbidly obese people on either side of us to worry about such things. I was so crammed into my seat this week.
I'm sorry.
Next time, come sit on my lap.
Okie dokie.
There you go.
But otherwise, I thought it was wonderful, and I really had fun. But it is late, and I am sleepy.
Well, don't fall asleep here. We've got a show to
tonight, do. Tonight won't be just any night. That was me singing tonight, ladies
and gentlemen.
That was
pretty amazing.
Thank you.
I'd sing with you, but I have a terrible voice.
Now, while you guys were enjoying a night of musical theater, and I'm going to give you guys a little bit of the blame for this, I nearly killed myself here in my house.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but when I showed up, you were gimping like crazy.
What did you do?
And I texted you about this when you texted me intermission.
I haven't read yet.
Oh, well, why would you?
All I saw was you say, cool, enjoy the show, I'm assuming.
And after that, he was like, by the way, call an ambulance. I'm on the floor dead, but you just ignored
it. I'm really sorry. I hope it wasn't like, oh, I'm nervous now.
No. I'm able to move around now, but
He wrote, cool, enjoy the rest. I almost hurt myself badly, tell you on the show.
And now we've reached that time.
It's true.
We've bridged the gap of time, so to speak. So basically what was happening is when we would normally have been recording the show, this was about, we would have been about 15, 20 minutes into the show when this happened. I'm sitting on the floor eating my dinner at the coffee table here, which I often do, and my left leg falls asleep.
Oh, wow.
Not a big deal. And so I get up and I'm done. So I get up and I'm bringing stuff out to the kitchen. Now the living room is carpet. The kitchen is linoleum and I'm wearing socks and my left leg is asleep.
Why did you try to walk with an asleep leg?
Because I'm just that smart, Mel. So I get to the kitchen. I take one step in the kitchen and I'm paying really close attention, because if you pay really close attention, you're going to be okay. But for just a split second, I turned, my attention went away for just a split second. I don't even know to what. And my left leg planted and it kept going straight. And I went down hard in the kitchen. And I had no idea. And I knew I had really stretched out or torn something in that left leg.
Except it was too asleep to know.
But my leg was still too asleep.
The bone was out. I just couldn't feel it.
So it was like that. So I had to lay there. I literally had to lay there. It was probably only about 45 seconds or so until all of the pins and needles stopped and the actual pain started. But it seemed much, when you're lying on the floor. Now I have so much empathy now for the I've fallen and can't get up lady.
It's scary.
Because I'm laying there on the floor and I don't dare move until I know exactly what's going on. Because I don't know, I might have torn something. Something might have gone on. I think I just really stretched out my hamstring a lot.
You could have fallen on something and had to go to the emergency room and explain that you accidentally fell on something.
On his fork from his dinner.
They'd be like, sir, you don't need to adjust.
I got hurt this weekend, too.
What'd you do?
Oh, Mel's going to be a one-upper now.
No, my injury isn't nearly as bad as yours.
Or embarrassing.
I'm in a one-downer.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I was performing this weekend, doing a show, and sometimes when you're doing improv, they do like the monologue or the opening and you have ideas for scenes you want to do in your head and you're sort of holding those in your pocket waiting for the perfect opportunity to do your scene. Well, somebody else started a scene, and because I was waiting to do the same idea, it didn't occur to me what he was doing. I just wasn't reading what scene we were doing. The scene was about throwing someone out of a car, however, and I did not understand that's what was happening. Mm-hmm. So before I had time to brace myself or think, I got shoved out of a chair and across the stage, landed on my arm, thought I had broken my wrist, and I have a bruise from my knee to the bottom of my ass cheek. My whole thigh is bruised because I didn't take the fall like normally you would on stage. Yeah. I just really fell and busted my ass.
I'm pretty sure that's an assault charge.
I know.
Ouch.
And he was like, didn't you know I was doing it? It was so obvious. I was like, I think I was so dead set on doing that scene myself that I just thought, how dare anybody read my mind and take the idea I had.
Was it Brian Krall? Did Brian Krall throw you to the ground?
No, it was the nicest human in the world.
Greg Saban?
It was Greg Saban.
Oh.
And then he felt really bad. Oh, and I got assaulted.
What?
Sexually Twice? Assaulted.
How? By whom?
On stage.
By whom?
Jeff Sloniker.
That's pretty sexy.
From L.A.
Oh, from Fuel TV?
From that guy? Fuel TV.
Or whatever deep,
Reno
deep,
911.
Deep cable. He's been on some very deep cable channels.
Yeah, you know, he was a little drunk, and he was playing the part of Eric Estrada in a scene, and he went to kiss me, but it just never stopped, and I got mauled, and I had, like, razor burn all over my face from his stubble, and he just never stopped, and then afterwards, he was really apologetic.
That's probably a lot of what it was like to date Eric Estrada in his heyday.
Yeah, yeah, and he was like, I've broken the improv trust, haven't I? I was like, kinda.
The improv trust, my God.
Just the general trust.
The entire trust going on.
I had something not bad happen to me
what?
Over the weekend. I went to Red Hot Casino.
Wow.
Which was so much fun. We went to the Folsom Outlets because I needed shoes. It's a long story. And so we're like, oh, we're near Red Hot. We should go. So I went. And first of all, they have the Dirty Dancing slot machine, which is dangerous for me because they show clips from the movie.
Oh,
there's not a more brilliant reason to just sit and gamble for hours than that alone.
I get that.
But I played and I won very well, so I had to leave. And then I saw a Deal or No Deal slot machine. But it was one of the ones that have like five together and a huge screen above it where you all play a bonus together. And it was kind of confusing because it told you how soon the bonus was. Which I didn't understand because I was like, oh, well, then I'm going to wait till like 2 minutes and then play so I can play the bonus. What I didn't realize is you got to get so many things to like qualify for it. So I was playing rather quickly. I was a penny slot machine, and I was playing like the maximum because I wanted to try to get the bonus really quick. 75 cents. The next thing I know, I'm hitting the button really quick. This like light goes off, and the woman next to me says, "Oh my God, I won 16,375 credits, not dollars," which is like $167 when you're on a penny slot machine is like a lot of money.
That
so
is.
I kind of freaked out, and I was like, "Oh my God!"
Congratulations! So
it was pretty exciting.
Somebody sent me the website for the California controllers websites. If like there's money that the state has that you don't know.
Ooh, mm.
And so I looked my name up. Guess how much money I could get?
How much?
$3.16.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I should check that out. I probably have a good 73 cents.
I'll send you
way.
The link.
In case the world ends and I lose my job and destitute on the street. I'm not kidding. One of the places I have money is in the Ohio version of that. I overpaid a dentist 10 years ago and I have $137, but I love keeping it there because it doesn't go away. As long as you're alive, it's there. And so I like whenever I feel bored, I type in my name and it pops up. But what's funny is companies do it and they'll send me letters all the time saying, if you just sign this, we'll do all the work it takes to get it. We take 10% or whatever. And I'm like, no.
10%? That would leave me with like $2.
But it's pretty fun to know that money's there. So if I'm ever like really like, I need $100.
I looked up my brother because he used to live here and there was like $250 or something, $350.
Wow.
So I told him. I think I should get 10% now.
You should. Finder's fee.
Right.
Yeah, well, this weekend was a very big weekend. Well, everywhere. It was a big weekend everywhere, but it was a very big weekend.
It was New Year's.
It was a big football weekend.
Oh,
I watched
God,
a lot
it
of football
me too.
This
too.
Weekend.
This
I watched
past week,
everything.
It's the 23rd of January. It wasn't New Year's this past weekend.
Chinese New Year's.
Chinese New Year.
I don't count
It's the year
that.
Of the water dragon.
I don't count that. So
don't be anti-Chinese New Year's.
Well, if I'm in China, I'll celebrate that. How
You're
about
in California? It's kind of close.
If I'm in San Francisco, I'll give it to you. The Chinatown here is not big enough for me to celebrate.
Can I say
Chinese
that
New
I
Year.
Called all the games this weekend? Which for me, I mean, I don't know a lot about football, but I went based on who I think are the better quarterbacks because I don't know a lot about the other positions, and I got both games.
I called the Ravens kicker was going to go far left. Called it. Oh. And people thought I was crazy. Like, no way. And
Cundiff, right?
Like,
that poor
bam.
Guy.
Billy Cundiff, who I'm going to ignore and move on.
To people
Williams.
Everyone loves to hate.
I'm going to move on to my San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Williams. Kyle Williams. Now, granted, it takes a team to lose a game or win a game. But Kyle Williams... Who was,
really helped.
He was returning punts, and that's not his normal job. Ted Ginn Jr. was out, so there is a little thing there. And he had two mistakes. One was in regulation where he violated the first rule of playing on special teams. If you cannot catch the ball, get away from the ball.
And don't, you mean don't bobble it off of your body?
Yeah, don't let it hit you, because then the other team can recover it and then score a touchdown.
Or if it does, don't pretend that it didn't when it's clearly visible that it did.
He tried to fake out the 83 cameras in the stadium, so that didn't work well for him either. And then in overtime, he fumbled a punt return that the Giants then kicked for a field goal.
You know, it makes me sad. I mean, these guys, I feel my heart goes out to them. I mean, what a horrible thing to have happen. But, like, it bothers me a little that people, like, it's... I get it. People's heart and souls are in their sports and their teams. But why are we death-threatening these guys? I mean...
I'll get to that in a minute.
I've done some pretty fucked up shit in my life, and I regret it, and I've made some big mistakes. But, like, we're threatening to kill these guys over a football game?
You clearly don't want to read Twitter about what I've written about you.
Oh, jeez.
Bitch took my parking spot. Off with the head.
So I was... I have never been as angry at an athlete on one of my teams as I was at Kyle Williams on Sunday. And I tweeted two things on Sunday. And when I saw people going, you shouldn't be so negative about things, I was like, F you, jerk. Because here's what the first thing I tweeted was, wow, if the Giants go on to win the Super Bowl, they should give Kyle Williams a ring. They couldn't have done it without him.
I retweeted that. I thought that was really funny.
I remember that. And then the second thing I tweeted was, Giants fans should send him a box of chocolates. He's going to drop them, but it's really the thought that counts.
See, I don't think that stuff's bad. I think that's funny, and it's kind of true and funny.
And
I just think it's like someone should go kill his whole family is the kind of stuff. I'm like, come on.
And they
just the people over 18.
And they didn't even do any research because he's single and doesn't have any kids.
Uh-oh, gay. He lives in San Francisco,
Someone's
not married.
Kill his mom.
But his dad is the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, which I did not know. until afterward.
Well, I mean, I feel bad for them, but people were really, so I was at Pyramid, which is like fun place to watch sports. And
the brew pub.
Yeah, it was really nice, actually, because every place we wanted to go was super crowded. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't crowded there, but it was like crowded enough where you felt like you were with people was good. But people were like really sad, and this girl was just beside her. She was like, I feel so bad for him. He's gonna be so... I was like, you know what, I feel okay. I feel bad for him, but I feel bad for like the workers who are now having to work 2 hours later because people are destroying things in the stadium, not him who's going back to his like multi-million-dollar mansion. Not to be a want-wanner, but...
It's crushing.
I felt bad for him. I felt bad for the kicker. I just felt bad for all the fans whose face... Like, that always gets me when they show a shot of the fans that has spent a lot of money to be at a game to support their team, and then they lose in a stunner like that. That just has to be defeating.
It was. It was devastating. It was destroying. I'm sure he felt terrible. He has been very classy since the game. He's come out and said, look, I'm responsible for it. I made the mistake. And to go back to your point, thanks for jumping ahead, people were threatening death on Twitter. And first of all, threatening to kill somebody on Twitter is the silliest thing I've ever heard of.
That's called leaving the most visible record possible.
You gutless fucks. I mean, come on.
Can you retweet things to 911? Does that work?
Well, here's the thing. If something bad happened to Kyle Williams, you can guarantee that the cops are going to be on Twitter looking every post about Kyle Williams, and I'm going to get off very easy because mine are funny.
There's only going to be like 400 suspects to comb through.
Oh, you're not even close. There,
4,000.
It's going to be closer to 4 million.
Wow.
Because
that's a lot of people.
There's going to be at least 4,000 people that would do it just because they lost a buttload of money on the game because of it. Don't forget about that.
I think we should have a countdown to how soon Law and Order, that is how a show is going to start.
Oh.
A pro athlete gets started, and there's all these Twitter, although they'll never call it Twitter, they'll be like, fast message. Because like you, Facebook was you lens.
They'll call it like Peeper.
Yeah. Wait for it. It's going to be the start of an SVU show.
I bet you're right.
There's a new...
They're filming it probably right now.
Yeah, they are. Dick Wolf is very prolific. And by prolific, I mean he steals ideas from the paper. Ripped from the headlines, I'm sorry. There's a new social media thing out there, and I saw it because Adam Carolla is using it, and I looked at it, I go, oh, that's kind of cool. It's called Keek, K-E-E-K, and you can just quickly upload videos to it. I mean, you can with a lot of things.
Is it like Pinterest? Which is everyone's new obsession.
I've not seen that yet, but
you're a straight dude.
Very good.
It's girls and gay men.
Ah, I and by the way, I have a theory that girls and gay dudes are plotting to ruin everything for the straight dudes in the world.
Such as
everything. I'll start with TV.
Okay.
Everything on TV.
Such as
Glee, every show where they sing, every show where they dance, Bravo. need I go on?
Why don't you like Bravo?
Because everything is about a fat dance teacher or models.
That's Lifetime.
Okay, I don't. It's all the same. Again, I don't know. All I know is I am restricted to the number. I pay for a bunch of TV channels that there's no way I could possibly want to watch. Like a lot of people, but I'm being forced out and marginalized.
Membership has its privileges.
Yeah, okay. So either way, so I go and I'm like, oh, well, that sounds kind of cool. So I sign up for it. And on my MacBook, I'm like, okay, well, I'll do a video on my MacBook and I'll upload it there. And it tells me your camera's being used by another application. It's not, but it says it. I'm like, all right, fine, jerk. I'll download it to my Android phone. I've got a fabulous Android phone. It does lots of things. I mean, my Android phone is even the soundboard for our little show here. So that's where we play stuff like this. You know what? You know what's not in the Android marketplace? Keek! It's not there. It doesn't exist there. Why on earth would you develop it for the largest mobile platform on the planet? Oh no, it's on iPhone. So post your fucking Instagrams there, you iPhone loving freaks.
What? iPhone people are people too.
Some of them are.
Why do you hate iPhone people?
I don't. I hate Keek right now because I was
still don't know what Keek is.
I was, and I hate them because turn that down. I hate them because I was excited about that thing. I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. And then I found out that I'm excluded from the club.
Oh, once again.
Yeah, different club, but still excluded. Kind of sad. Over the weekend, also, Joe Paterno died, although he was reported dead, then not dead, and then finally dead. I first saw it on Facebook, so I immediately went to all the websites I look at, and they had him as not dead. And then I got into an argument with people about whether he was dead on Facebook. And my go-to is, if TMZ doesn't have him dead, he's not dead. Because TMZ knows when you're dead, and they know when you're with a transvestite hooker. Ask Eddie Murphy. By Joe Paterno. Here's the thing that blew me away the most about this whole thing. Now, ESPN went full bore with their coverage because they didn't have anything else. I mean, it wasn't like the two biggest football games of the year were, 4.5 hours away. And one of the things they did is they've got a bunch of former Penn State players that work at ESPN. And one of them is Matt Millen, who was an NFL player, pretty good NFL player, and a very terrible general manager for the Detroit Lions. He claimed that Joe Paterno, quote, died of a broken heart. No, he died of lung cancer. And I'm really tired of people who just sort of look for supernatural shit where it doesn't exist. And if it really were true that he died of a broken heart, his lethal broken heart was that the scandal broke, not that kids were getting raped by his assistant coach in the shower, or he would have died of that broken heart about 7 or 8 years ago when he found out about it. So I call bullshit on Matt Millen and everything like that.
Well, everyone from Penn State's been the whole time have been nothing but defensive of him.
I
knew it, when he died it was going to happen.
Well, of course. And I understand that. But, I mean, come on. He died of a broken heart. He was 85 years old.
My favorite thing was The Onion had an article that said, Joe Paterno's doctors pledged to call their supervisors first thing Monday morning to let them know that Joe Paterno has died. And then I forgot there was another Onion article that was a press conference that 10-year-old boys had that said, please, if you see grown men raping us in the shower, please call the police and not tell an athletic director of a university.
Oh, that is awesome.
I have to say, it was like, The Onion. Oh, it's so educational.
They are brilliant with satire.
What I really hope, to be honest, is that, like, the whole thing, I just want it to go away. I just hope that with his death, it's going to be easier to get closure for stuff.
Well,
it's not going to ever get closure to the survivors who went through that, but I hope it will stop the endless talking about it.
Well, it won't, because the Jerry Sandusky trial has got to happen, and that's where we're going to get more details, the more gruesome details, and they're going to come out, and it's going to be covered very heavily. But at least it will be focused on the guy who allegedly is the shower rapist.
No, remember he went on TV and said he just enjoys showering with young boys.
Well, sure.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Because that's not gross.
Nothing out of the ordinary at all.
Oh, that's right. You just I'm sorry. Sorry for all the hullabaloo.
Our bad, yeah.
Did you just say hullabaloo?
You did. You did say hullabaloo.
I, by the way, love when people say rut-row. And today, two separate people said rut-row. Like when a mistake happens, it kind of made my day.
I like cattywampus.
Say again?
Cattywampus. When things are cattywampus, they're akimbo, off-kilter, cattywampus.
Akimbo means, arms akimbo means your arms bent and hands placed loosely at the waist.
Right.
I knew that from my vocabulary master's test in fourth grade.
Speaking of things that make no sense, Rick Santorum. See how that was that worked out?
Or if you're Larry, Sanatorum.
Okay, Rick Santorum.
I can't say it.
That's okay. You can just listen to this part. This one will go by quickly. Rick Santorum decided to launch this thing on his website called Conservatives Unite Money Bomb. And it says, help us raise $1 million in 72 hours. Now, they're over $2.5 million on their thing. But here was the part that amused me. Rick Santorum, who, as we all know, who have Google, has a different definition to his name, as put out there by Dan Savage. Conservatives Unite Money Bomb. Mel, what is the acronym for that? You can see it right there.
Come.
C-U-M. Nobody on his staff said, hey, Rick, that's really a cool idea, but could we maybe not call it Money Bomb? Couldn't we call it Conservatives Unite Together?
Cut.
You know, that would be better than come for somebody like Rick Santorum.
True.
That's what I think. So that was the amusing thing on the campaign trail.
I'm shocked that a man of his stature would do something so stupid.
Well, I don't blame him so much. There was somebody on his staff, and he just went, yeah, yeah, whatever. I don't have time to look at that. I have to pick out a sweater vest.
Yeah.
He just needs to drop out and go away.
Do you know if you donate 100, I think it's 100 bucks to Rick Santorum, he will send you a Santorum sweater vest?
Interesting. Wow. I like sweater vests. I'm going to do it and wear it all the gay clothes.
Oh, my God. I would love to see you in a Santorum sweater vest. That would be the best thing ever.
Well, thank you, Nate, darling.
That would be awesome. Speaking of people hating other people, Anthony Bourdain is very angry at Paula Deen.
You know, he keeps saying he's squashing this, but he just can't let it go. He really hates her so much.
No, and you know what? I don't necessarily blame him. I kind of like Anthony Bourdain. He's a bit of a dick.
I like him.
He speaks his mind, and he offends people.
Is it okay to like both people in this situation?
Oh, of course. You can always...
Paula Deen's voice annoys the fuck out of me. And I have an annoying voice, so I know that's like the pot calling the kettle black, but like, hey, y'all!
You know, months ago, he got a bunch of grief for giving her the business, and he finally said, you know what? Fine. Forget it. I'll never say anything about her again. You know, who cares? Why do I even care about what she does? It's over. But he just can't leave it alone because she annoys the shit out of him.
No.
She's gotten under his skin.
Yeah, and here's why. If you missed this, it got under my skin, too. Paula Deen, who's known for doing super high-fat stick of butter in everything she makes recipes, unapologetic about it, because that's what he was ripping into her about before, yeah. Saying, you are killing America by making these things and putting them out there. And she's like, no, it's just homespun, blah, 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 blah. Well, she came out on the Today Show and announced, I have type 2 diabetes.
What?
And she is now a paid, this was the part that they kind of had to pull out of her, so to speak. She is now, she didn't announce it. She was diagnosed like 2.5 or 3 years ago, and she came out and announced it at the same time that she had secured a deal with a prescription drug company.
See, the genius is what that is.
Right. No.
Give people diabetes and then make money from it.
It's capitalism at its worst best.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that it's the type of thing that that the Republican National Convention, they would have a circle jerk over that. It is devious, it is insulting to your audience, and it makes you a ton of money. So anyway, yeah. he tweeted, speaking of Twitter, thinking of getting into the leg-breaking business so I can profitably sell crutches later.
What I thought was funny, and she, you can tell how well-prepped she was because I watched the Today interview, and so Al Roker, which I thought in itself was ironic that he was interviewing her, said, so you're getting paid. And she's like, what do you mean? Trying to be like this country bumpkin. He's like, well, you're getting paid. And her answer was pretty brilliant. Yeah, I'm getting paid for my work just like you're getting paid for your work right here.
It's not the same thing.
I was like, really, girl? Like, I mean, I appreciate the savviness of it, but it just feels so dirty to me.
It's incredibly dirty. And you know what really upset me about that whole thing? And I see it on a lot of shows. Somebody will come out and say something ridiculous like that, and the person interviewing them, whether it's because they don't want to step up and be the bad guy or what the deal is, because something similar happened in the debate the other day, Al Roker should have stood up and said, yes, I'm being paid to host the Today Show. I'm not being paid as a spokesman for a company that fixes vision problems after telling people to sit really close to the TV show so they could see the Today Show better.
Or is he?
I don't think he invites people to sit close because he's better from far away, even now. Yeah, and Al had the gastric bypass a few years ago.
Which at least he admitted, unlike Star Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Who said she just had a medical intervention. And I hate that Star Jones now.
What does that mean?
Okay, the Today Show, if you watch it, has this annoying segment with three people who I actually like, sort of. Has Star Jones, Dr. Nancy, their medical person, and then the money guy. I forget his name. But they're each experts in their own thing. But then they bring them on to talk about topics because they're trying to launch it as their own talk show. So they'll be like, so what do you think that Kaylee Anthony might have her own talk show? And they ask a doctor. And then they ask Star Jones. I'm like, you're a doctor. You should tell me things about medical things. I don't want to hear about your spin on pop culture. It's very interesting to me. It's just, it's bizarre.
That is funny.
I think it's on the fifth hour of the Today Show, maybe the sixth. I get a little lost.
They get their mileage out of the Today Show. That's pretty much it.
It's a French old horse, what it is.
Aww.
I like it. I mean, I watch it. Because who doesn't enjoy French old whore?
I like it.
Seasoned and bred well.
I like that whore. Closer to home, at least to our home here in Central California, so to speak. In Modesto, police have launched an internal investigation into an officer after several questionable pictures became public. 8 photos show several half-dressed women on top of a Modesto police squad car. Some of the pictures show an officer pretending to handcuff one woman. The officer was on duty at the time when the pictures were taken, according to the police department. And I love the quotes from the resident. Very disturbing. That's our taxpayer money that is supporting this.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe Modesto should be more concerned that it's one of the worst places to live in the country, has record unemployment, one of the highest home foreclosure rates in the country. And it doesn't help that the police officer is kind of hot. I'm not really offended by these pictures at all.
I just think it's the whole thing is so stupid.
It's a little tacky. Like,
I mean,
I was wondering what you would think of it, because it's just silly fun. It's a couple of male cops, and one of them's not a cop anymore. One of them still is. And they're out one night, and these hot chicks who are probably doing a club appearance, because there's one picture, there's a girl autographing a Playboy, and my guess is she's probably inside of it.
Right. Or at a library for a literacy event.
But either way, if their cops are visible out on the street at a night spot, just being there is a deterrent to crime. So it therefore is doing their job. But I love it when anybody who sees, I would hate to be a cop. And here's why. If you do anything that isn't chasing down a dangerous drug dealer or a bank robber, somebody's, if you're having lunch, there's some dick going, yeah, it's good. I pay your salary while you're eating your lunch.
Yeah, we used to get that. And,
of
you know,
course.
The reality is we do patrols by the bars and by stuff, and people would come out and they'd say, can I take a picture with you, or can I talk to you for a second, or I like your uniform. And you're like, whatever, you make small talk. It's called getting out there and talking to people. If people want to take a picture, even if they're scantily clad. I think I actually have a picture out there somewhere of me with a scantily clad woman.
Ooh.
Hey now.
TMZ's going to break it out.
Because they were doing
morning.
The same sort of thing. They were doing some sort of promotion at one of the clubs in the town where I worked. And the girls came out and they're like, oh, a female cop. Let's do sexy pictures. I'm like, well, let's just do I'll do a picture. But, you know, I mean, come on. Cops are human beings. They're not on duty.
Yeah.
You know, they have to have lunch and they take pictures and they talk to people and they stop for a cup of coffee and they smoke a cigarette and give them a fucking break.
And when the story first broke, I really thought the pictures were going to be like porn, and they are clearly not porn.
Not
These
at all.
Pictures are like, other than the girls are dressed like sluts, it's nothing that's offensive
or
awful.
If it proved that they were like on duty in a hotel room banging these girls for 2 hours while they were supposed to be on shift.
Different.
But come on, give me a break.
I'm sorry. Her ass cheeks left a smudge on that car that I paid to wax.
Ugh.
I paid for the wax on the car, and her butt cheeks smudged it, and I am offended. Now, when I was in college, the one thing I would love to see when the bars were closing and everybody was getting out onto the street, I would love to see a couple of city police officers, some on foot and like a car parked somewhere else, because I knew that the super drunk jackasses weren't going to get into a ridiculous fight because there were some cops there. And if there weren't any cops around, the least little thing and drunk frat guy and drunk guy from other frat are going to say two things to each other. Then they're going to go, and then they're going to start swinging. And then you never know what's going to happen. So,
right.
Yeah, either way.
I say a good job for the cop.
Yeah, I mean, settle down, people.
I wish I lived in Modesto. I'd go give him a high five.
Yeah, doing your job and having a little fun. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, people need to relax. You know who was having fun doing his job the other day?
Who?
President Obama.
And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here. So in love.
That was all he sang, but that was pitch perfect. I mean, Al Green, now Al Green's probably not going to say anything bad about the president, but that was pretty close. If you have any question about it, here's what it sounds like when Al Green does it.
This should be his theme song for the campaign.
I'm so in love with you.
Is that Obama?
No, that's
a joke.
Is the Reverend Al Green?
He's a reverend?
He is. He is, in fact, a Reverend Al Green.
I think there's so many girls that I know have crushes on Obama that might set them over the edge.
Nice. That brings us to our very first feature that we've ever had on the show. It's time for...
Cool.
First up, cooler tool, Anthony Bourdain for calling out Paula Deen for being a hypocrite. Larry.
Tricky pumpkin. I am going to say... Cool. I don't like how he's so mean, but I like... I'm going to say cool. He's not a tool, so by default, he's cool.
Mel?
I say same thing. I say cool. I don't think he's mean. I think he's blunt, and he says what he's thinking, and he doesn't edit as much as everybody else does, and then he gets shit for it.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like at all. he is a kindred spirit of mine, except he cooks better than I do, and he drinks more, so he is cool. Moving on, cop letting hot chicks take a pic on his car.
Fucking cool.
And
Mel.
Cool and kind of sexy.
I'm going to go with super duper cool on that one. By the way, I have to apologize for because a moment ago Larry made me laugh like Burt Reynolds from the 70s. So it was pretty... yeah. All right.
The cop is hot. And I think that's what... if he was not hot, I don't know if I'd feel strongly. I think that's fair.
I think Al Green under Cooler Tool gives it an air of class. Anyway, finally up in Cooler Tool, President Obama busting out in song. Mel, start us off.
I don't think it was a tool move, so I guess I have to go cool. And I thought it was pretty sexy, frankly. I thought it was pretty hot.
I love when politicians do things, regardless of who they are, when they do things that just make them seem like kind of real people and not so stodgy. So I'm going to say cool.
I always wonder how like pre-planned and staged and predictable that stuff is, but it seemed really not, and it was cute. And he was all embarrassed afterwards. Like, see, they said I wouldn't do it, but I did. And I just thought it was, I thought it was cute.
I think they knew Al Green was going to be there, and they said, and somebody probably jokingly said, "Hey, Mr. President, you should sing Al Green to Al Green." And he's like,
"You double dog dare me?"
Yeah, it was one of those deals that. You know, he's the president of the United States. Are you daring him to stick his tongue on a frozen pole?
Plus, to do that and have a good voice, you get extra points.
Yeah, I mean, he did very well for himself. I'm not going to ruin it by channeling Rush Limbaugh or anything like that. It was a cool move. I don't think you can really question how cool it was to do that. I mean, here's what made it really cool. The fact that he nailed it.
Yeah.
If he did it and he sounded like most of the people auditioning for American Idol on an aircraft carrier. By the way, whose idea was it to do karaoke on a fucking aircraft carrier?
Fox.
Yeah. I was like, really? Oh, what a terrible. Steven Tyler putting his own Steven Tyler tude on the anthem in New England.
I liked it. I'm just going to throw that out there. I thought it was totally Steven Tyler. I thought it was fine, and I didn't have a problem with it. I actually listened to it twice after everybody complained because I didn't get the big deal.
It's Steve Tyler. What did people expect when
he
they
said, sounded
exactly
hey, Steve
like
Tyler. Himself?
That would be like if exactly. All I can say is this. I will say that for the Super Bowl, I am super excited, although I'm not excited about the teams that are playing all that much. But I am excited that, one, Madonna's a halftime entertainment, and, two, Kelly Clarkson is singing the national anthem. Who I think will do a fucking amazing job.
Oh, yeah.
Who
yeah.
might rival Whitney Houston. Remember Whitney Houston when she sang the national anthem, which I think was like the gold bar where she wore that like American flag sweatsuit with the headband?
Yeah, during the Gulf War.
And her pre-crack days. But I'm very excited. But I mean, he's a lead singer from Aerosmith. What do you want him to do? Singing like I just don't understand why there's such reaction.
He's not a classic singer. Well, he's going to sing. He got through it as best he could and he sounded exactly like himself.
He messed up the words in two places. And my bigger problem was stop booking Steven Tyler to sing the national anthem, please, please.
Yeah, I mean, if you want it to be, you know, on pitch and classic and good, stop bringing in stars and just bring in good singers.
I would have, well, they had, and I can't remember
Kristen Chenoweth?
Yes, she did it in San Francisco. Really nice version.
I wish she would have worn a hat. I hate to say that her hair was awful.
Ooh, inside tip. If you ever want to hear one of the best renditions of the national anthem, I'm not even joking. There's this girl. Her name is Emily K. Schrader. She's from Modesto, interesting enough.
What?
And I'm no joke. She's going to be a Broadway star. It's kind of ridiculous how good she is. She's already doing some stuff. But Google her. She has sung like national anthems at every major stadium in California. It's like fall on the floor good. It makes you want to like cry tears of red, white, and blue.
Do you guys know the remember the best anthem you ever saw in person at an event? Because I do.
Emily Kay Schrader.
No.
My best one, and it was a complete surprise. San Francisco Giants, and we go in, and suddenly Jose Feliciano.
Wow.
Just him and his guitar, and it was when they dedicated the Orlando Cepeda statue at AT&T Park, and it was just such a cool version of the anthem. It was his own, but he didn't take... There's making it your own, and then there's making it your own and treating it like your shitty trailer. And that's what Steven Tyler does. But making it your own and still showing respect to the anthem and doing it. I mean, Jose Feliciano was just fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic.
I still wish America the Beautiful was our anthem. It's such a better song. Although it's written ironically, did you know that? It's written by a lesbian, and so which is really funny when any conservative politician uses it. It's written by a lesbian to remind people that we need to be less about war, more about peace, and how beautiful our country is.
I did not know that.
Just like no one knows the YMCA when they're singing it at a baseball game in the afternoon is about gay men having endless sex at the YMCA.
That's why I don't do the YMCA.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are smart.
The village people gay? No. No, no, no. That makes no sense to me.
Why are there straight men in costumes? Is it Halloween?
What is that? All that leather? That has to be warm on a day like today. The leather hat and chaps like that. You know what? I was looking around the internet for stuff to talk about this week, and
makes me nervous.
Well, that's what I do every week. I look for different things. And here's what I came to realize. It's tough to do the news. It's tough out there for a reporter. For instance, in Detroit, chaos broke out after an arraignment on Saturday afternoon at court in downtown Detroit when words were exchanged between families of a victim and a defendant as they exited the courthouse. Let's go now to
when that happened.
To ABC7 in Detroit. Oh, hold on. I have to vamp while this Ford ad plays through here.
Oh
right. Don't you hate when you're
I already watched an ad for this.
Well, this sort of stuff happens to me at work, so I can totally relate.
Cameras were rolling when two families started to scuffle outside court.
It got vocal and dangerous. Action News reporter Michael Rosenfield shows us the courthouse melee.
This is all that's left of our tripod. It's supposed to have three legs, but one of them ripped right off and used as a weapon after two families went at it right here outside 36th District Court.
Is he an accessory now?
Ain't nobody gonna
It's a couple of African American families, if you can't tell.
This afternoon, words exchanged and a murdered woman's mother outraged.
That was a woman smashing the news tripod on the ground.
This woman taking off her pink jacket and grabbing our tripod.
I like that he described the pink
into the
jacket.
Cement and ripping it apart. And the fighting rolls on, and so does the attack on the tripod.
And she's still trying to rip the leg
this
off the tripod.
Scene taking place minutes after 35-year-old Jacob Wells was.
So basically,
Detroit.
Why was there no police there?
It's Detroit. They fired them.
And the security inside the courthouse would not come outside.
Shocker, would you?
The families of both the victim and the defendant were in court. The woman who grabbed the tripod is connected to the defendant. Not only did she destroy the tripod, she then threatened the victim's family.
He's really focused, though, on the tripod.
He's really upset about the tripod.
It was an ugly scene. No punches were thrown, and there were attempts to quell the fighting.
I am so glad I wasn't there for this. Well, yeah, of course he focused on the tripod, because otherwise it's just a couple of families fighting. And it is hard to rip the leg off of a news tripod. She worked on that bad boy for a while.
When the fight was over, both families went their separate ways.
I just want justice. I want them to throw the book at him for what he did to my daughter. These people are maniacs. Did you see that?
And the woman who broke the tripod walked off, twirling one of the legs.
She kept the leg.
She attacked us.
She kept the leg and twirled it like Larry twirls a baton as she walked away. Yeah, because she wasn't twirling it very well.
Do you know what's sad is, aside from how sad it is, the victim's family has to go through that no matter who they are.
Right.
But, like, that she was, I think, the only person of sanity the entire thing. Because the reporter, I think, as much as he probably didn't want to be there, was kind of happy because now it's a big story. But, like, she was like, I want, to throw the book. She was the most sane person that entire story.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have to be there because her daughter's dead.
Yeah. Her 21-year-old daughter was shot to death.
Oh, and Detroit.
And the woman who destroyed the tripod and threatened to kill these bitches, she is the sister of the guy accused of murdering her. And speaking of bitches, did you hear? Who was it? Some rapper, I forget. Doesn't matter. He's retired the word bitches.
Oh, yes, because he has a daughter
he
now.
He has a daughter now.
That.
Now he's all of a sudden, he's got respect for
Jay-Z or somebody,
yes.
Right?
Oh, is it Jay-Z?
I think so. But yes, I guess 99 Problems he's got 99 songs and that ain't one.
But what happens if when his daughter turns 14 and becomes an actual bitch?
Oh,
he's like, yeah, I'm bringing it back.
He may bring it back. That is entirely possible. I just thought it was funny that he suddenly... I love it when people suddenly get all involved with something like that and go, yeah, I've been yelling bitches and hoes for years, but now I have a daughter. My life has changed. I'm retiring, bitches.
Hey, whatever it takes sometimes.
My favorite is when rappers act like they come from the street and that they're really tough and hardcore. And my perfect example of this is Bow Wow, previously known as Little Bow Wow, who grew up in the tough cul-de-sacs of Reynoldsburg, Ohio, the suburb next to my suburb where I grew up. So when I hear Little Bow Wow talk about I saw an interview where he was kind of like he was acting like he was from the streets. I'm like, you lived in a cul-de-sac. Like, you are not from the streets.
He calls it a dead end, Larry. It sounds more tough.
Yo, I'm from the Reynoldsburg. We only got two Fridays off the highway.
Unless you're in France or maybe Quebec, calling it a cul-de-sac does not sound as tough as a dead end. He probably I grew up on a dead end street.
Road to nowhere.
Dead end live. Road to nowhere. I was going nowhere. You know where else it's difficult being a news reporter? It's tough everywhere. But in Seattle, they had snow this past week.
God, this made me laugh so hard.
And when they have snow, they close a lot of streets because Seattle's really hilly, kind of like San Francisco in certain parts. And what they do is they slide down the street. Well, the cross streets aren't necessarily closed. And so local TV station King 5 sent a reporter out to stand at the bottom of the hill and do a story.
And really, I mean, not to be a killjoy in all of this, but if you are going to venture out on this hill, be safe. Wear a helmet if you can, because, like I said, it's getting icier and icier as that snow just compacts further and further. And we know that it's not going to get any better. In fact, it probably will get worse as long as this corridor is open. Again, you just saw a car go by behind me. Buses are coming through here, too.
One car.
I mentioned a number of close calls, but still fun to watch.
Police just stopped because of your reporting. Thank you so much for ruining the fun.
Oh.
Total complete killjoy.
The best part for me is when you watch it is, you know, when somebody goes to put their arm around you, you instinctively do it back. Yeah. So the lady goes like to put her arm behind the reporter's back and the reporter instinctively puts her arm around her thinking they're going to have a moment. And then she basically tells her she's a bitch.
Oh, they had a moment. All right. My favorite
felt bad for the reporter. It just made me uncomfortable.
My favorite part was when the anchors, who've obviously been there since the dawn of time, they go back to them in the studio, and they're obviously older anchors, but they've done their makeup. And this is a YouTube clip, so it's a little bit down on quality, but they just look very plasticky. They have a Bruce Jenner look about them.
Yeah.
A little bit. But it is tough out there being a news reporter.
Poor news lady. She's just doing her job.
Yeah, well.
Kind of funny.
It's mildly funny, but, I thought she handled it okay.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, she started out by saying, not to be a killjoy, and then 50 seconds later...
Hey, killjoy.
Yeah, what are those odds?
You've ruined our fun. This is a tradition here now. You've ruined our fun. You are a killjoy. Thanks very much.
I mean, how many times has that word even come up in a conversation usually?
Twice in 45 seconds.
It's Seattle.
It is.
Popular word up there.
Yeah.
Wasn't Nirvana's third album called Killjoy?
It could have been if they had a third album. I mean, I think
they had a third album.
Yeah, I think it was Unplugged was their third album technically. Let's talk about the lady with two vaginas. Oof. Did you hear about this?
Yeah,
she's British, so she has a stiff upper lip and lower lips as well. She has become a celebrity in the UK because she was born with two fully formed vaginas, and now she may be finally able to cash in on her magical crotch. TMZ learned that she's been offered $1 million to bone on camera.
Gross.
I don't know that it is. Her name is Hazel Jones. She's 27 years old. She's blonde. She's pretty decent looking. And she has been making the media rounds in England to discuss uterus didelphys. It's a condition which caused her to develop two sets of female reproductive organs. In other words, two vaginal canals with two openings.
Are they on top or next door?
I don't know. Is it
a duplex or a two-story apartment?
Duplex.
Oh. She should marry her two wieners.
It's like the fallopian tubes come up and make the uterus one big uterus, but instead hers didn't combine together, so it's separated. So she has two uteruses to two fallopian tubes that have two separate openings at the bottom.
Big uterus.
You just said a lot of words that aren't in my lexicon.
I don't think I've ever heard the phrase one big uterus.
Did that sort of make sense?
Your dad, I think, would be proud.
Thanks.
Oh, that is.
No one would love my vagina.
You know, obviously, I'm kind of curious. I would be interested from a scientific standpoint of seeing what's up with this. But then the thought came to me, what happens at that special time of the month? Does she have to double up on tampons?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, is she twice as bitchy?
Why do you have to do that, dickhead? How she realized she had a condition was sort of the first indication was that her periods were out of control. And then she started realizing something was wrong because it's not... As everybody's thinking, like, two giant gaping vaginas, like, that's not what's there. So it wasn't visible. Her parents never knew when she was a baby that there was what was going on there. Because it just has, like, a membrane separating them, I think. Not that I've seen it, but I'm guessing.
Not that I've been there, but
I don't know.
One side's kind of loose. The other side's...
I'm not sure, but...
Her lady parts are like a Play-Doh factory.
Technical question. Would a DP for her actually be four?
Yes.
Two in each one?
And one in the back and one in the mouth. If that's
no,
what you're
I meant DP two in one hole.
Yeah, Larry,
yeah, you could do four.
So it had to, a DP for her.
I don't know
be
if she could physically take that.
What
yeah.
QP?
Well, her. I don't think you could physically get four guys together in a space like that.
Yeah, you could.
What if they had no legs? Maybe.
You totally could.
No. There would be no place for the legs. Is what I'm saying.
I think we need to do a reenactment just to see if it's physically possible.
I'll get some friends together. And No, that's not what I mean.
More people. We'll just have everybody snuggle up and see if we can fit. I'll lay on the coffee table.
You get some guys from Cirque Soleil, and you invent some kind of like a harness that hangs from the top. I'm sure there's some pervert out there that's already done this in Animime, but like or Anime, however you say it. I'm not going to pronunciation, but like you have to find weird
Japanese faces and no sound, and they're all in a box or walking against the wind
or walking their dogs. Right.
But I don't think that would be all that hard.
I think you're crazy. It would
have four wieners in one little hole.
Okay, that's eight legs. That's eight legs on the guy and two on her.
That had to be hung, dude.
And think of all the balls in the way.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, that's like a ball circle. Oh my god.
Seriously, if you grabbed one nutsack from the side, it would be like that thing on everybody's desk where they just whack into each other and go through to the other side.
Exactly. You know, I'm pretty glad, by the way, for the record, that I did not understand what that phrase meant. I was like, she's got four holes, so four, five, six holes. I didn't understand what that meant, so I'm glad that means I'm still sweet and pure.
We'll
go with that.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Mel, I know how you love Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
You do, don't you? We all do. Well, one guy doesn't, and he's in jail, so that'll teach you something. He is the man behind BoycottKim.com. He is a convicted felon with a history of conning people. What?
Well, he should get the job done then.
Well, I you know, so basically he was nailed for sending notices to 5,000 California car dealerships, telling them they each owed lots of money to the DMV, and it was their final chance to pay or else.
How does that work? But the DMV was really him, and like he was diverting the money, or he just wanted them to give the DMV money, and he was just sort of the middleman helping.
Well, that's actually pretty funny.
Well, he probably gave them the wrong address and so on and so forth, but... Either way, he's claiming that he's got 650,000 people signing the petition to ban Kim Kardashian. I don't know how that would even happen.
Which means nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. But according to Complete.com, which is a web traffic estimator, he only has 24,000 unique visitors to his site. So
I bet they are unique.
Yeah.
Each and every one of them.
They are. And it's they get to go there on their break in prison time. So... Kim Kardashian, who guest hosted Live with Kelly on Monday, I think it was. I saw this on Extra. She came out and she's like, oh, this was kind of fun. I think it would be fun to have my own talk show.
And I killed myself.
And I haven't done this in a while. I literally yelled at the TV. Because sometimes you have to yell at the TV when people say something stupid.
Could you imagine how boring and vapid that would be?
She is, in terms of just her saying things, she is the least interesting person on the planet.
She has a very flat, slow delivery.
And she's dumb as a fucking post.
Yeah, or at least her persona is.
It's not a persona. It really, do you think she's suddenly behind the scenes brilliant? She's not an actress.
Hey, you know, I normally would always be like, idiots are idiots. But you know what? Larry changed my mind on this a little bit. Because
nice job,
Larry. You know why?
Why?
Kesha.
Oh.
I always thought Kesha was who I saw on videos and stuff, which is sort of this vapid, weird, ditzy blonde, and apparently she's not. So maybe Kim's the best actress of ever, but I do doubt it.
Yeah, there's a difference between doing a 3-minute music video and doing several seasons of a reality show based around your life. They have to do some really hard editing to make her not seem like the most horrible person on the planet.
I used to pray that Jessica Simpson wasn't as much of an idiot when she'd say that stuff on that show, but then she wasn't any better after the show stopped.
She really wasn't.
Yeah, and I liked her on that show. I found her charming.
Yeah, she was normal.
Yeah.
And her husband was hot. Nick Lachey is one sexy fucking man.
And where is he from?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
And one of the guys from 98 Degrees, the ugly guy, is very progressive and ran for mayor in the Green Party. Fun fact.
Well, we don't have any Ohio news this week. I'm sorry, guys.
No.
I couldn't delve that far in. But we've reached basically the end of our show, and that means it's time for...
We don't have time for one of the stories that I really like that you sent us.
Well, maybe we'll get to it after this. Let's do small town news and we can talk about it.
Yay, small town news.
Small town news. I had to go to the biggest city in Vermont to get small town news, but I think it qualifies. The headline, police search for woman who threw raccoon at City Hall. Police in Burlington are looking for, this is from December 2nd, so they might have found her. But police in Burlington are looking for a woman who threw a dead raccoon at City Hall. Take that. Who said you can't fight him with a dead raccoon? A surveillance camera captured images of the unidentified woman that police say is behind the incident. There she is. It's a tiny surveillance photo. I can't really tell anything.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So investigators claim she tossed the carcass of the animal at the door of the city building on November 17th. Now, they say she's facing vandalism charges. They're concerned for her mental health. Oh, you don't say?
I just want to know more. I want to know what she was mad about.
I don't think she knows.
Someone broke her tripod.
Oh. Nicely done. A couple of things out of the gate are the mental state of the person that would take a dead animal and beat it against the wall of City Hall. That would be our first concern. Secondly, is the public health hazard that it creates, said Burlington Deputy Police Chief Andy Higby. Thanks, Andy. Thanks for spelling it out for us, because we couldn't figure that one out.
I love it.
The woman could also face charges for potentially creating a public health problem. But, hey, that's your small town news.
And was it already dead when she threw it, or is it death by bludgeoning?
She threw a dead raccoon at City Hall. When she threw it at City Hall, it was dead. When she found it, was it dead? Probably. It was probably roadkill or something.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like the Wily Trapper.
She was sick and tired, and she wasn't going to take it anymore.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Have a raccoon.
That is, seriously, that's like out of Family Guy. That's how ridiculous that stuff is. Oh, that small town is. No. Oh, what was your favorite thing? Was it the
Merkins?
Oh, the Merkins. We have time for Merkins. We'll do Merkins real quick here.
Because you know how Merkins started, right?
Go ahead and illuminate us. I think I do, but go ahead and tell us.
They were to, because back in the day, prostitutes would have like syphilis, and they'd use cover. They'd shave, and then they'd use it to cover their diseases. And other women would do it because they would get pubic lice, so they would shave and cover.
Can we clarify what we're talking about?
Merkins.
They are. I think that the translation is a wig for your privates.
Yes,
it's like a little. It's a little hoo-hoo toupee.
It's a pubic wig, and they have them for both men and women. So
then they use it mostly for like acting, so that they can shoot a scene without showing anything dirty, would show flashes without having to do uber editing.
I also think that's probably how they shot a lot of Boardwalk Empire, because the standard style these days in pubes is to more of a hardwood look than than the shag carpeting, so to speak. But in the 20s, that was not the case at all.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they probably used them for that. Although some method actresses could let it grow.
Interesting. Wow, merkins.
Merkins. Well, feathers aren't for birds anymore, Larry. They're also perfect for vaginas. And that's according to former Real Housewives of New York star Cindy Barshop. See, this is another one of those things. Remember when I told you about...
Vajazzling. She's the one that introduced me to vajazzling.
I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah. Let's get a little music under this.
She's sort of the housewife that's sort of bikery white trash feeling.
Yeah, she definitely is.
Yeah, she's created not just one, but two new lines of luxury merkins, which she's now selling at her New York waxing salon called Completely Bare. The first line is called the Foxy Bikini, in which the bikini line is waxed bare and replaced with a pubic wig made from real fox fur.
PETA is going to be there protesting.
You know what? I would love to throw blood on your fox merkin. That would be awesome. They come in a variety of colors, including traditional pink. What is there a pink fox out there that I don't know about?
Yes.
There is not a pink fox.
I've got a one-eyed pink fox.
There's a red fox, but there's no elf.
You know, it's so ridiculous because the thing about this that gets me, which is probably like ridiculous, is that it's so impractical. I'm like, how do you put your jeans on without messing it up? What a waste of money. You have to walk around naked because as soon as you put pants on, you have to wear a skirt and no panties.
Oh my God, you could not sound more Jewish right
now. I know,
now.
I'm so practical. I can't help it. I looked at that and went, what a waste of money.
You know, like, I would do it, but I can't figure out a way to wear it without messing it up.
$200 and then I put on my jeans, it's ruined.
Well,
forget it.
I don't think it's for wearing out and about during the day. It's probably for a special occasion, Mel.
But what happens if you do go bare down there and you go outside and it's chilly? It can keep your muffin warm.
Yeah, it's a muff.
And then what if it's for a special occasion and like they have pubic hair and it snags and it rips off because they think it's glued on?
Do you think they have colored ones for like your favorite sporting team or holiday themed ones?
Yes, they do have colored ones. They have pink.
Other colors.
I'm sure they could accommodate for the right amount of money.
Yeah, they have a variety of colors, Larry, including the traditional pink. Now, if you desire something for more festive flower, Cindy offers the Carnival Bikini, in which the pubic region is decorated with feathers in a variety of colors.
Yeah, it's fun. She's over in Rio.
But a fancy hoo-ha don't come cheap. No. The starting price is $195 for the Carnival, which is essentially four feathers. And the foxy one is an extra 30, so you're talking about $225 to put a little fur on your nether regions, which you can usually grow yourself for free. Now,
I think that's reasonable.
She's not going to be back on the Real Housewives of New York. Oh, my God, TMZ. Did we really need to abbreviate Real Housewives of New York to RONY?
That's what everyone does. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's not abbreviated at all.
Oh, you're killing me.
Now
you're all killing me.
In an odd combination of not small town news and what we were just talking about, I got a breaking text alert, and I'm not sure why, but it's for LA. Many people know they passed the law that porn sets have to use condoms.
Yes.
And it's saying that Maya Vigorosa, who I can't say his name right.
Well, that's okay. It's not his real name anyway.
I know. But he signed the law into order today because he thought it was an urgent crisis. Now, what I think about is, like, if you were an alien or alive 100 years ago and you came alive and you read that story, you would think our society and civilization has crumbled. It was one of the lead stories on USA Today about, like, condoms required on porn, and it was just very funny. And they had, like, the Performers Union representative talking, and they had, like, the Porn Directors Union guy talking. It just was very bizarre.
You gotta love the union-made stuff.
Buy USA. Obama did say in the State of the Union tonight that people that do business in America should get tax breaks.
Fair.
Yeah.
Very fair.
Don't outsource your porn.
And Jerry Brown should be doing something to keep the porn industry in California. If they don't want to do it, now, you know what I say? Move them to Modesto. I'm pretty sure they're not going to get too uptight.
No,
they might.
They'll just be happy for the income.
It's true. Well, there's plenty of free space up in Natomas, so they could do it there. That's a little inside geography for...
There's empty borders that people didn't want turned into a thrister because they're afraid of the undesirables in.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that at all. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Oh, my God, it flew by so quickly.
I know,
just like that. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Have a good week.
Yeah, let your friends know you listen on Facebook, Twitter. Tell them in person. And thank you so much for your support. We love you all. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Adios, amigos.